everyone. Welcome to the Secular Overeaters Dialectical Behavioral Therapy class series. A trained therapist and secular member of Overeaters Anonymous will teach us new DBT skills every week that can help manage emotions, which can often trigger overeating. To find out more about secular overeaters, visit the website, secularovereaters.org. Now let's begin today's class. So welcome to the Secular Overeaters Dialectical Behavior Therapy Skills class. My name is Susan P., and I'm a compulsive overeater and sugar addict. I've been a CBT therapist for 36 years and a DBT therapist for over 10 years now. And I use DBT skills in my own life every single day, and I'm excited to teach other OA fellows what has been so helpful for me and my clients. So this meeting has been an ongoing class where we've been focusing on a different skill every week. And this week we're on week 7, radical acceptance. And if you're listening to this as a recording, you can check the podcast show notes for links to the materials I'll be reviewing today. So I want to begin with a mindfulness exercise like we usually do. And I used this one this morning. This one is called Half Smile and Willing Hands. And we talked about this a little bit in the past, right? We practice this a little bit, but it's very relevant to the skill that we're going to be learning today. And that is radical acceptance. And I had to practice some radical acceptance this morning. I take a bus from my home in Queens to my office in Manhattan, and it's raining. And I don't know if you know, but anytime it's raining, it slows down public transportation in New York City so that it could take much longer. And sometimes it's unpredictable. And I left myself plenty of time. I left myself to get from my home to my work. It's, I don't know how many miles, like 15 miles, maybe less. And I left an hour and 45 minutes. So that should be plenty, right? But it was raining. And so I was on this bus worrying that I wouldn't make it on time for this meeting. And there is nothing that I can do. I can't yell at the bus driver. It won't make things go any faster. I can't get out on the 95 South. That won't make things any faster either, right? I am sitting there, a prisoner on this bus, and there is nothing that I can do to make sure that I will get to my office in time to start this meeting. And so I did exercise called Willing Hands and Half Smile. All right. So what you do is that you put your hands on your knees with your palms up in sort of a willing pose, and you put a half smile on your face, right? Not a big smile, no tension at all, just a little smile. And so I want you to do that right now. Maybe think about something that is bothering you that you have no control over. So think about that just for a second, and then go into a half smile and willing hands and notice how it makes you feel. We're just going to do this for about a minute. Okay, when you're ready, open your eyes and come back into the room. And I hope that was helpful, because it was helpful for me. It helped me, right? So we're going to talk about radical acceptance today. It's an advanced skill. It really is. Somebody says to you, oh, here's a situation that you don't have control over. Practice radical acceptance. What the hell does that mean, right? What does that mean, radical acceptance? You can't just do it if somebody tells you to do it. And what radical acceptance means is that we are willing to acknowledge the reality of a situation.
That's all it means. We acknowledge the reality of a situation. We don't concentrate on what we think it should be or what we wish it were, or tell ourselves that it has to be a different way, right? Radical acceptance means that I fully accept the reality of the situation as it is right now. Why is that important? Right? Why is that important? And it's important because not accepting the reality of a situation means we're fighting against it, like the bus, right? Yelling at the bus driver is not going to do any good and will make him feel terrible and me feel terrible. But if I radically accept that there's nothing that I can do, then I can decide how I'm going to cope with that situation. And the way that I coped with the bus was not to sit there and stew the entire ride. It was to listen to my audiobook and forget about it for the moment, right? Distract myself for the moment. And so radically accepting a situation frees us up to stop fighting and decide how we're going to cope. All right. So as I said, though, it's kind of an advanced skill. So have patience with yourself. It takes some work. I want to show you a video and let's see if I can skillfully do this. Share my screen with sound. You never know.
It's working.
Thanks, Jenny.
In this video, I will explore radical acceptance, what it is, when to use it, and how to practice it. Radical acceptance is a distress tolerance skill and comes from the school of psychotherapy called dialectical behavior therapy, or DBT. Radical acceptance means accepting this moment or situation exactly how it is. For example, Ben has osteoarthritis and has to rely on a walking stick. He can't walk very far and needs regular breaks. Rather than getting angry about his condition, he radically accepts, "This is my life. I am in pain. I can't walk very far, but my life is worth living." Ben accepts his situation, but this doesn't mean he has given up or approves of his situation. If Ben didn't accept his health issue, he might not take such good care of himself, maybe not taking breaks or not taking his medication, which could lead to more suffering down the line. Let's look at what can happen if you don't accept your reality. Joanne has been in an abusive relationship for 20 years. She believes her husband will stop abusing her one day. Because Joanne cannot accept that her husband is unlikely to stop abusing her, she stays in the relationship and continues to be abused. Nothing changes. So Joanne is rejecting her reality. She's denying the facts in front of her. She's denying her past and she's denying probabilities for her future. Joanne's refusal to accept her reality only leads to more suffering. For change to happen, Joanne must first accept the reality of her situation, because non-acceptance is keeping her stuck. I want to stress that radical acceptance does not mean you approve of your situation. It certainly doesn't mean you have to approve of being ill or approve of being in an abusive relationship. Also, radical acceptance is not passivity or giving up. I think a lot of people are afraid of the word acceptance due to a fear that it makes them passive. It's not passive resignation. Remember, fighting against reality can hinder effective problem solving. To change your reality, you must first accept it. And remember, while you cannot change the past, you can change your future, but you must first accept your situation. There are three types of situation where radical acceptance is useful. One, you experience trauma or pain. For example, you may have a traumatic past. Accepting that the facts of a traumatic past can be very painful, and complete acceptance may take some time, months or even years, but you cannot change what has already happened, and fighting with the past doesn't achieve anything. But you can choose to accept your past so that you can make changes to your future. Two, you are in distress but not a crisis. For example, you're in a traffic jam and you're going to be late for a job interview. Getting angry will not change your situation. It would be more helpful to accept you're going to be late, call the office, explain what has happened, and see if you can rearrange the interview. Accepting the present moment situation enables you to problem solve. 3, problem solving isn't working. For example, you've caught COVID and your daughter's wedding is in 2 days. You've been planning the wedding for 2 years. This is a good time to accept the reality that you're sick and you should stay at home to recover. There is nothing you can do to change this situation other than accept it. The outcome is not what you want, but there is nothing you can do to make this any different. It's not always easy to practice radical acceptance. It's something is painful, and natural response is to push it away or try to block it. The more painful the situation, the longer it can take for you to fully accept it. So the process of acceptance starts with what we call turning the mind. This means choosing to accept. So you're turning your mind in the direction of acceptance. Sometimes a process of acceptance is a choice you make every day, sometimes several times a day. For example, accepting that a parent has died is not something many people just accept, and this can take time, months and even years. And you may observe there are times when you accept and times when you don't accept. When you don't accept, you may notice thoughts such as, why me? Or feelings of anger or bitterness. If you can unclench some muscles and open your hands, it automatically sends a very different message to your brain. Now, this is called willing hands, a willing hands posture. So let's put my hands on my lap, and it's a way of accepting with your body. You may also practice a half smile with a willing hands posture. And remember, radical acceptance is usually a process. So keep practicing and turning your mind towards acceptance.
Okay, so, I searched, far and wide for a good video about radical acceptance, because I think it's a very hard concept to explain. And I like this one the best. I spent a couple of hours yesterday. The sources I usually go to, I just didn't like what they had to say. But I thought this person really did a lovely job of explaining it. And talking also about how difficult it can be, and that it's a process. So let me share my handouts now. I love this cartoon. Okay. And what is acceptance? So on the left side is not acceptance. It says it's raining. I don't like rain. I wish it wasn't raining. My day would be better if it wasn't raining. My day's ruined. Every day is like this. It's always like this. Why does it always rain when all I want for it is to be sunny? Right. And so you're spending a lot of time being miserable, right? Thinking about things and talking about things that make you miserable. And acceptance is on the right. It's raining. Yep. Okay. What I like about this is the idea that that there's nothing you can do about the rain, right? And so why spend the time bemoaning it when you can just accept it? But that's only the first step, right? There's a second step here. And when I teach radical acceptance to my clients, I don't just say the skill is radical acceptance. I say the skill is radical acceptance and adaptation. Right? How do we adapt to the reality that we're facing? And so if it's raining, and the reason that you're so upset it's raining is because you were planning a picnic and you've done a lot of work towards this picnic. You bought food, you made food, you put together beautiful napkins and paper plates, and you're so excited about it. And then it's raining, right? What do? It's so disappointing. I can't believe this is happening. This is the worst thing ever. Or you can figure out how to move your picnic inside, right? You can adapt to the situation that you have and make the best of it. And so that's why radical acceptance is so important, because it really will impact how we feel. How much time do we spend bemoaning the fact that things aren't the way that we want or hoped, or that people aren't doing what we want or hope that they do? Instead of that, let's accept it and we can adapt to it. Let me give you an example, right? There wasn't much that I could do on the bus this morning other than figure out a way to distract myself. But this isn't the first time this has happened. I have a plan for what we would do if I'm going to be late, right? But I have been with my husband for 26 years. Here's another situation. And he is amazing. And he is possibly the messiest man on earth. Maybe it's a little bit of hyperbole, but he's so messy, right? And so, do I have to accept the messiness? Not necessarily. But what I do have to accept is the fact that he's messy because he does not see the mess. How do I know that he doesn't see it? Here's how. One day, years ago, my stepdaughter and I decided to move the furniture in the living room around. He came in and did not notice it. More recently, somebody gave my stepdaughter a big bouquet of balloons. I think I've told the story. And they were in the front hallway. And he walked by them. And I said, "Weren't those balloons great?" And he said, "What balloons?" So this man does not see, like, he feeds the dogs. He does not see that he's left the empty can and the spoon on the counter. He does, he just does not see it. Or that a diet, you know, can of Diet Coke, the stuff he's been working on, several utensils, a few cups are on the kitchen table. He does not, he honestly does not see that. And so I have to accept that, right? I'm not suddenly going to make him have a different visual field. It's not going to happen. The man is 67 years old. That is not going to happen, right? So I've had to adapt to that. I have become more comfortable with some disorder than I used to be, for sure. But also, I take on more of that burden, right? I do more of the straightening up. I just do because it's important to me. It's not important to him. I see it. He doesn't see it. And so I have found a way in my daily day, because I hate cleaning, by the way. I have ADHD. I don't like it. It's annoying. But I, you know, like, I'll come through and spend a couple of minutes throughout the day putting stuff away, so that I'm happier and we're not fighting about something that's not going to change, right? There are other things, of course, that I have asked for change about that he's completely capable of, right? And so it, that sort of makes it okay. And I'm sure, you know, he hasn't said this to me, but I'm sure there's plenty of stuff he's practicing radical acceptance about me, right? That's what we're willing to do. Here's another situation that's a little bit harder that I'm going to tell you about that has made a big difference for me in my life. I have a very difficult mother. She lives downstairs. I may have mentioned this before, right? She lives downstairs. Did I have to agree with that arrangement? No, but actually it's a good arrangement. It's been that way for over 20 years now. What makes it easy is, what I think makes it work for me, is because I'm the only sister who lives in the area. My two sisters live far away. And I know that they would be helping if they were here. I do know that, right? They're great. We're close. But I'm the only one here. And it makes it easy that if my mother needs something and she had some significant health problems in the past year, I can go downstairs and check on her, right? I don't need to travel someplace. So having her there makes things easy for me. But I have had to adapt to the fact that she is pretty toxic, right? She's pretty toxic to me. I have a hard time spending time with her. And I am better able to take care of her and myself if I limit the amount of time that I spend with her, right? She cannot take any sort of feedback. I've tried in the past. I even tried, like I said, the very significant health problem she had, I felt like I should probably spend some more time with her. She, you know, a lot of her friends aren't alive anymore. Some of her favorite people have passed away. And I decided, you know, I'm going to be a good daughter and I'm going to go down and spend time with her. And I tried that for about 3 days. And I decided that if we were both going to remain alive, that I couldn't do that. Right. And so for me, it's radical acceptance, right? This woman is not changing because I've tried to give feedback and she is very thin skinned about anything. And my feedback is gentle. I know how to do this because I'm a therapist, right? I'm pretty skilled at it. I know how to use Dear Man, like I taught you last week, and it just doesn't matter. It's not going to change no matter what I do, right? And so how do I adapt to this reality of living in accordance with my values? Right, and my principles about what being a good person means and protecting myself. And so what it means is that I take care of her needs. I check on her daily to make sure everything's okay. She's not by, I mean, she has friends, and there's even a person that she's known for a long time who's staying with her. So she's not by herself. And when my daughter's home, my daughter goes down and for as much as she can spends time with her, right? So that I take care of her needs. I check on her daily, right? And I have promised myself that no matter what she says, I'm going to be proud of the way that I respond when I walk upstairs to my part of the house. And it's working. That is working for me. I sometimes get a little twinge in that I'm not spending more time with her, but I think being a good daughter, never being unkind to her ever, right? And protecting myself so that I've radically accepted who my mother is and radically accepted what I can tolerate, right? So it's, I think that that's made that arrangement possible for me. So radical acceptance can allow us to deal with difficult situations and adapt to it in a way that works for us. Okay. All right. Let's take a look at some more handouts. All right. So radical acceptance, when you cannot keep painful events and emotions from coming your way. Okay. So here's what I want to look at. Why accept reality? Okay, because rejecting does not change it, right? Changing reality requires first accepting it so that I, in order to change the reality of not liking a messy house, I have to accept the reality of my husband's capabilities. Okay? Three, pain can't be avoided. It is nature's way of signaling that something is wrong. And so we pay attention to that. We accept that this is a difficult situation because again, then we can do something about it. And this is the most important. Rejecting reality turns pain into suffering. So the thing we have to accept is painful anyway. But then if we're banging against our heads against the wall or fighting, right, or being mad about it all the time and or messing up relationships because of it, then it turns pain into suffering. So if I refuse to accept my husband's sort of abilities, right, and we're fighting all the time and it doesn't change anyway, what good is that? It just makes things worse. Five, refusing to accept reality can keep you stuck in unhappiness, bitterness, anger, sadness, shame, or other painful emotions. Six, acceptance may lead to sadness, but deep calmness usually follows. Again, we're accepting the thing that's painful to us, but then we can decide what to do and move ahead. And the path out of hell is through misery. By refusing to accept the misery that is part of climbing out of hell, you fall back into hell. So the message is the same over and over again. If we can't accept, we continue to suffer, right? And again, sometimes make other people suffer too. All right. So here's some radical acceptance coping statements. These are just some suggestions because it takes work to radically accept. And some of it happens when we actually change our posture, like in willing hands and half smile. But talking to yourself is such an important thing to do. And I do it all the time, right? So I tell myself often, it's a waste of time to fight what's already occurred. I won't drive myself crazy with things I can't change. Right. And this, the last one I sort of like, this moment is the result of over a million other decisions. What does that mean? I'll tell you what that means is that if something has happened that you don't like, a million things participated in making that happen. So if somebody has been doing something that's annoying to you, let's say you work with somebody and they keep doing things in a way that you don't like, and you don't have the power to make them change. And any feedback you've given in the past doesn't work. We can sort of comfort ourselves with the idea that this person is being difficult for a reason. It probably has nothing to do with me. Who knows how they were raised? Who knows who mistreated them? Who knows why they have to feel like they aren't open to listening to other people, right? Plus the way that the company deal, the way that HR deals with these things, there's like a different million decisions to when that. So there's lots of different reasons things are the way that they are, none of which I have control over, can help us let things go. Okay. So this is a helpful handout for you guys. And then here's a worksheet, right? We're going to do this in a breakout room. Reality here, what are some realities that I'm refusing to accept? Take a few minutes to think about that. Behaviors that I do when I am refusing to accept a reality, like if I were to argue and disagree with my husband, If I were to like leave the place a mess to show everybody what it would be like if I didn't do it, are things that flit across my mind sometimes. And how do I experience suffering when I refuse to accept reality? Welcome back, everybody. Anybody want to say how that went? Give us a few minutes on how that went. And what you thought, and if there were difficulties, questions. Carla?
Yeah, I shared quite a longer story about a re relationship with my stepdaughters. And to make it short, it wasn't the relationship I thought it would be because my daughter and these the twins, my husband's twins, had been at a fixture in my house for a long time before myself and their dad got together. And I thought that it would be a good, close relationship. Their mother had already passed away. And needless to say, it did not go that way. They resented me, even though they had been, I had been another mom to them. So that kind of made me think, I just have to accept it hasn't turned out the way that I thought it would be. It's their choices. There's nothing I can do about it. But continue now, things are a little better. Continue to be welcoming instead of just nope, don't want anything. So anyway, that kind of gave me a little light on that.
Oh, it's such a good example and such a difficult situation, and not the way that you wanted it, but the way that it is. Excellent example. Good. Anybody else? Ben, let us know.
Thanks, Susan. I kind of stored it away for future use. I couldn't think of anything at present, but I'm facing this enormous decision about I can't afford where I live. I moved to California. Everybody, I should explain it. And I'm retired and my income is limited. So I would either have to get a part-time job to be able to afford it. I've been retired 16 years, very resistant to going back to work, or find another solution. And if things don't work out the way I hope they do, I'm going to have to accept that I've just got to get a part-time job if I'm going to stay where I really want to be. And I see that this technique is going to be tremendously helpful. So
I'm
I
so
won't
glad.
resent going back to work.
I'm so glad, Van. Another excellent use of radical acceptance to allow us to move ahead in a situation that we are just not happy with and hoped hadn't, wouldn't have happened. Really good example. Okay. Thank you, everybody. Okay, everybody. That's the time that we have. Okay. So that's all the time we have for today's class. Okay. And we have one more class left, and that is next week. And we will be doing something called behavioral chain analysis, which has been instrumental in my recovery, right? And behavioral chain analysis, we identify what are the events that led to something I wish I hadn't done, like have a slip. And I had a slip this week. Right. And so it helps you analyze what are the links in the chain that led to that, and how am I going to change that next time? So that's what we're going to be doing next week. Okay. So we're going to close with the Serenity poem. And if you would like to, please unmute and join me. And boy, is the Serenity poem related to radical acceptance, right? All right. It's the thing, the thing cl so closely related. So we seek the serenity to accept the things we cannot change. Courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. All right. Thank you, everybody, so much, and I hope to see you next week.
Thanks for joining us today. If you'd like to support our efforts, please visit secularovereaters.org and consider making a small donation.